In the name of Jesus, our risen and living Lord. Amen. Today's text invites us to an interesting exchange between the Sadducees and Jesus, purportedly on the question of marital matters in the resurrection. Who were the Sadducees? It's interesting that both Josephus and Mishnah complement and supply congruent material with what we learn from the New Testament. They were a small, powerful, and wealthy group strategically positioned around the temple, at times identified with the priesthood. Their platform was interesting. They accepted Moses, but they rejected the oral Torah of the Pharisees. And they were most emphatic about the future. They simply said there is no existence after death, certainly no resurrection, and any rewards and punishments are simply dreams. One scholar has recently summarized the Sadducees by saying they were the secularists of the day. And one can easily see how they were threatened by Jesus' actions and by his words. He brought life, and it was a life that was to have no end. So their privilege and their power were at stake. And so they come with this contrived question about the woman who had seven brothers as her seven husbands. But their real intent was to make belief in a bodily resurrection look ridiculous. Jesus perceives and confronts their assumptions forthwith. "You are mistaken. Planaste," he begins. "Number one, you don't understand the scriptures. Number two, you don't understand the power of God." And then he supports these claims with sterling exegesis. "Now, about the dead rising, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the account of the bush, how God said to him, 'I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob'? He is not the God of the dead, but of the living." And with that, the real agenda and the assumptions of the Sadducees were exposed. We don't have to look far. The assumptions of the Sadducees surround us in our day. Look at the cultural elites, intellectual, economic, political. Increasingly and tragically, they have no regard for Scripture or for the power of God. And in many and subtle ways, there's a propaganda of death that is in the air we breathe. The dominant view at Harvard, at the University of Chicago, at Stanford, is when you are dead, you are dead. You have nothing to look forward, no significance beyond this short, brief grab for whatever pleasure and power is accessible. And ahead, darkness, death, oblivion. And the powerful in our day peddle such darkness. In fact, it brought to my mind again when I was on a seminary trip in England. In Stratford, I love to kind of go through the graveyards and see what's written there. And often there are beautiful confessions of the Christian faith. But then I came across an interesting tomb. It had in big letters, "I was what you are. You will soon be what I am." Doesn't that make you feel warm inside? "I was what you are, you will soon be what I am." And that's the assumption that goes too frequently unchallenged. But Jesus will have none of this in our text. He begins, "Planaste, you are mistaken." And he ends the conversation, "Polu planaste, you are very mistaken." The living God came to Moses and identified himself as the God of the living. And Moses set forth to announce life, not death through the law. In fact, if you look at Moses' book, he begins with an incredibly beautiful description of God's gift of life. And if you go to the end of his book in Deuteronomy, he places again the offer of life before the people in the God who was alive and would give them a second Eden in the promised land. And the living God would send Moses, Shalach, to announce life, to establish a sacramental system around that tabernacle, to proclaim the living God, the God who would not have any die, the God who would send the seed of the patriarchs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jesus of Nazareth, to the cross, so that in the cross death might be absorbed, the curse reversed, and the entire people who are in God be victorious over death. How we need this Easter life. How we need to recall daily our baptism that recalls us to Jesus' cross and his resurrection. Your worship, your study, your formation in this place is about life. It's about your receiving life and your call to give it by God's grace. Now you are alive with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They will never die, nor will you, for God is alive. And I would suggest if you go out and visit with people, you get to know them a little bit, you will sense how desperate they are for a word of life. For they have tried Wall Street. They have tried Washington, D.C. They have tried Harvard and Hollywood. And they know underneath they are no match for death. And so the silliness that marks many funerals is but a disguise for despair. It is not, however, any disguise in God's church. Here is the truth. It is life, Christ's life, that permeates and guides all of us. And Moses' call invites us to ponder coming calls and assignments. People go forth from this place, servants of Christ, to announce life. And so go. Go as those truly alive. Alive because you are joined to the one who has conquered death, who gives you his living body and blood in the sacrament, who gives you an eternal life that will know no end. Display God's gift of life in his resurrected Son. Yours is a holy, blessed, wonderful, and fulfilling mission. For under God's grace, you will bring people from death to life through his word, through his presence, through his peace. God grant us all such life in this Eastertide and into eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.